Even before Dharmakirti, there was a widespread understanding within Indian Buddhism of the mind's capacity for transformation from a negative state to a state of tranquil and wholesome purity. A Mahayana work of the 4th century, The Sublime Continuum, which is attributed to Maitreya, and a shorter work attributed to Nagarjuna, entitled Praise to the Ultimate Expanse, argue that the essential nature of the mind is pure, and that its defilements are removable through meditative purification. These treatises themselves draw on the notion of Buddha nature, the natural potential for perfection that lies in all sentient beings, including animals. The Sublime Continuum and Nagarjuna's Praise offer two principal theses for the basic transformability of the mind toward a positive end. The first is the conviction that all negative traits of the mind may be purified by applying the appropriate antidotes. This means that the pollutants of the mind are not seen as essential or intrinsic to it, and that the mind's essential nature is pure. From the scientific point of view, these are metaphysical assumptions. The second is that the capacity for positive transformation lies naturally within the constitution of the mind itself, which follows the first thesis. The texts on Buddha nature employ metaphors to illustrate the theme of the innate purity of the mind's essential nature. Nagarjuna's Praise to the Ultimate Expanse opens with a series of vivid images which contrast the mind's essential purity with its pollutants and afflictions. Nagarjuna likens this natural purity to the butter lying unextracted in unchurned milk, to an oil lamp concealed inside a vase, to a pristine deposit of lapis lazuli buried in a rock, and to a seed covered by its husk. When the milk is churned, the butter is revealed. Holes may be made in the vase so that the lamp's illumination is released. When the gem is dug out, the brilliance of lapis lazuli shines forth. When the husk is removed, the seed can germinate. In the same manner, when our afflictions are cleansed through the sustained cultivation of insight penetrating the ultimate nature of reality, the innate purity of the mind, which Nagarjuna calls the ultimate expanse, becomes manifest. The Praise to the Ultimate Expanse goes a step further and asserts that just as subterranean water retains its purity as water, so even within the afflictions, the perfected wisdom of an enlightened mind can be found. The Sublime Continuum describes the obscuration of our mind's natural purity with analogies to a Buddha sitting on a soiled lotus, honey concealed within a beehive, a piece of gold dropped in filth, precious treasure buried beneath a beggar's home, the potential matured plant in a young shoot, and an image of the Buddha hidden inside a rag. For me, these two Indian Buddhist classics and the various works that belong to the same genre, which are written in highly evocative and poetic language, were a refreshing contrast to the rigorously logical and systematic writings that are part of Buddhist philosophical tradition. For Buddhists, the theory of Buddha nature, the notion that the natural capacity for perfectibility lies within each of us, is a deeply and continually inspiring concept. My point here is not to suggest that we could use the scientific method to prove the validity of the theory of Buddha nature, but simply to show some of the ways in which the Buddhist tradition has attempted to conceptualize the transformation of consciousness. Buddhism has long had a theory of what in neuroscience is called the plasticity of the brain. The Buddhist terms in which this concept is couched are radically different from those used by cognitive science. But what is significant is that both perceive consciousness as highly amenable to change. The concept of neuroplasticity suggests that the brain is highly malleable and is subject to continual change as a result of experience, so that new connections between neurons may be formed or even brand new neurons generated. Research in this area specifically includes work on virtuosos, athletes, chess players, and musicians, whose intense training has been shown to result in observable changes in the brain. These kinds of subjects are, interestingly, parallel to skilled meditators, who are also virtuosos, and whose dedication to their practice involves a similar commitment of time and effort.